Greetings, this is Brother Jamal, and you're listening to Inner Light Radio, the healing frequency.
You're listening to Live 365.
Body Magazine. Stay informed of the latest technologies, strategies, and organizations behind our food supply, our minds, body, and overall health. Bringing you unexposed global views, advanced products and services, and informative interviews. Travel to unheard of places. NCB peels away fear by exploring the science of consciousness. We are about freedom. Subscribe to New Corporate Body Magazine. Explore your reality and expand your mind. Advertise your products and services with us. NCB is a printed publication and also available online. Check us out at www.newcorporatebody.com or call 949-249-3825. That's www.newcorporatebody.com, 949-249-3825. New Corporate Body Magazine and Sovereign Mind are a division of Timeline Publishing, Incorporated.
Everybody, put your hands together right here.
Welcome to Sovereign Mind Radio Program, and I'm your host, Sonia Barrett, broadcasting from Inner Light Radio and BBS Radio on Wednesday, November 19th, 2008, Matrix Time. Join me each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, A Sovereign Mind explores the nature of the game, the game players, and the strategies in place to hold you spellbound and distracted. Informed guests will bring insight to the silent side of corporations, spiritual concepts, science, and technology, and how they're all being used to influence your choices. We will explore concepts and ideas that will stretch human imagination and potential. We want you to participate by calling in at 310-928-7733, or as you most often do, is by sending an email with your questions to innerlightradio@yahoo.com. Well, today is definitely going to be different. I'm excited about it because I've had many people ask questions in reference to our topic of discussion today. And my guest today is Jim Matatal. Jim, I've known for quite a few years, and almost 10 years. And so I know that he is a legitimate source in terms of asking these questions, because there's a lot of people out there giving information that they are not clear on, and it has created many problems for other people who do not do their own research. So, anyway, Jim Matatal has taught and assisted those wishing to act sovereign in their life's journey by providing the tools necessary to do so. He is, as I say, masterfully informed on the fictitious status by which we operate, this fictional self known as the straw man. He educates others on the true nature of law and the manner in which we have been defrauded in our commercial operation under the UCC code. He has been a tax consultant for 40 years based on an understanding of misinterpreted tax laws and the defining point between one being classified as an employee or a sovereign man or woman supported by one's right to a livelihood, one's right to earn a living. He graduated from CSULA with a bachelor's in business management, and he has been called on for as a federal expert witness on taxes. So our discussion today will be around the straw man, your fictitious status in law, and tax laws, and assuming one's sovereign status. Well, again, I want to remind you, you are listening to Sovereign Mind and on Inner Light Radio and BBS Radio, and it's Wednesday, November 19th. Jim Matatal, welcome to Sovereign Mind.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be on. It's nice to hear you again.
Yes. Well, Jim, I'm not quite sure where to begin. So I guess we'll begin at the beginning, whatever that is. I want to start with, the concept of sovereignty, but at the same time, that kind of covers everything. But there's tremendous misinformation around this idea. We technically are all already sovereign. So, Jim, if you want to maybe give us a start where you think would be good, like what is, the straw man what sovereignty is in a summary, and then we can go into some other specifics.
Okay, well, first of all, correctly said, we are all born in this country as sovereign people. And over time, however, due to ignorance, de-education in the American fool system or school system, depending upon which you call it, we are told that we should sign all these documents saying I'm a U.S. citizen, et cetera. Now, if you read the Constitution of the United States of America, you see that there is a United States, and there is a United States of America. The United States of America is the country itself. The United States is the government that resides in Washington, D.C. We sign all these things saying we're a U.S. citizen, and U.S. citizens are those people who have an allegiance and a duty to the government and reside in their territories, like Washington, D.C., Guam, Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, et cetera, places like that. They are U.S. citizens, and they are, therefore, subject to and under the control of the United States government. However, the rest of us are not, and we are the sovereigns. To give you an idea, the Constitution is not a document that describes who we are. It's a document that describes what the government can do. It creates the government and then describes what they're allowed to do. And anything not described in that document, they're not allowed to do. That's under the 10th Amendment. In addition, you will see that there are certain amendments, the 4th, 5th, 6th, the 1st, the 2nd, which deal with certain things that they're particularly concerned of the government trying to interfere with, and they enumerated those, even though some of the original signers thought it wasn't necessary because the states would keep the government under control. But as we can see, the states have not kept the federal government under control. They've let it run rampant. And the people, through being de-educated or uneducated, have not known what to do or even known that it was occurring. So what we have now is sovereign people signing documents saying they're not sovereign by virtue of saying they're citizens of the United States. And instead of being like myself, I was born in the California state republic, and as such, I'm a Californian. And that is who I am, as a sovereign man. And every person who was born in a particular state is that sovereign. And wherever you are naturalized, if you are naturalized to this country, you are then also the same thing. If you're naturalized in California, then you are a Californian by naturalization, as opposed to by birth. And sovereign people, the meaning of sovereignty means that you answer to no one except God. And you don't answer to government. Government answers to you. That's the whole nature of what sovereignty is all about. The real problem we have now is because the people have reneged on their duties to keep the government under control for so long, that not only the government, but the court system operates under a tremendous number of presumptions. And the presumption is that you owe a duty to the government as opposed to the government owing a duty to you. And because of that, all their renderings and findings and things that they do put you into this class of somebody owing a duty, and that class then makes you subject to their whims, if you will. And the whole idea of sovereignty is for the government to respect who you are and operate only within the bounds that they've been allowed under the Constitution, which requires the people as a group to understand who they are and start demanding that the government operates within those bounds and not just unrestricted as they're doing now. But that would be like a Reader's Digest version, because I could go on for days.
You did a pretty good job of at least giving that base explanation. Now, before I go into the big question, which is, you know, a lot of people, what do they do wrong that gets them into so much trouble? Can you explain a little bit then, define the straw man? Because then the straw man, of course, is the manner in which this control process occurs. And there's confusion with that, the uppercase versus the lowercase and that.
Yeah, the definition of straw man, if you look in Black Law Dictionary, is in essence, it's somebody or something that acts in the place of another, or it becomes the recipient of everything that's occurring. And it then passes through if the real recipient wants to receive it, on to them. But it effectively, I don't know if you ever saw those cartoons where he had this one guy and he'd do something and then they'd punch his partner.
Yes.
Because of what he did. And basically that's what the straw man is. It's that partner taking the punches. And that's what it's technically for something, somebody else to act in the place of the real party of interest. Essentially how that occurs is under the rules of English, an all uppercase name is not the proper way to spell your or my name, or anybody else's for that matter. The proper rendering, and we all learned this in school, is that you spell it upper, lower case. And they have typewriters and computers that will do upper, lower case. But whenever they send you anything, it is always in upper case until such time as you identify yourself as being the one who's subject to their letters, if that's what we're talking about here. And then they'll put it in upper, lower case afterwards. But the initial contact is always uppercase. When you go to court, the name on any kind of docket they file, any kind of complaint, it's always uppercase. And the reason why, well, let me get to the definition, first of the English. In English, anything that's uppercase, all uppercase, missing points and spaces, that's periods and spaces in between the letters, is either a government agency or an organized body. An organized body is like a corporation, association, etc. One of those items. One of those fictions, if you will. Because government itself is a fiction. It's not real. It has no rights. And only you and I as live people have rights. And you'll see if you look at the Declaration of Independence, and here we're in California, so you've looked at the California Constitution and pretty much all state constitutions, you'll find that the government's been instituted to protect the people's rights. Government has no rights. And the reason why, well, let me go, first of the English. In English, anything that's uppercase, all uppercase, missing a coin or space, period, and spaces in between the letters, is either a government agency or an
organization. I hear myself echoing back. Is that happening?
Yes, Jim. One second. Is there a caller there?
Government itself is a fiction.
One second, Jim. Can you? I'm not sure if you're able to hear me, Jim.
I can hear you. You're coming in fine on my end.
Okay. All right. So we had a caller, and I don't know if that. Anyway, the caller hung up. But
okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I hope we didn't miss all of that because it was very echoey.
Yeah. Well, I thought so too. But anyway, the net result is that the government can't deal and control you directly, and therefore they create a fiction, a straw man, and they have the authority to control that because it's a fiction. A fiction is a creation, an artificial creation. And it's under the control of the creator, in this case, the government. That's why you see all these push for corporations. If you see a corporation, especially when they talk about tax purposes, it's wonderful for tax purposes. Well, if you look on the Internal Revenue Code for crimes, and that's under the 7200 section, 7200.01, which is tax evasion, 7200.02, which is failure to pay the tax, 7200.03, which is a failure to file a return, etc. They all say any person who. Then you look under 7343 of the code, and it says, and it defines the term person there as either a corporation or a partnership. And so what you have then is these fictions is what they have authority over and what they can apply crimes to, etc. Because that's all they can do. They have no authority over you. So they create these straw men, straw women, or what they can generically call the straw man, and allow that to be the subject of their investigation, which is the only thing they can do, outside of a complaint of another sovereign man or woman wanting the government to take action for them. So when the government on its own which is sua sponte, when they want to, on their own, start an investigation and proceed, and they have no complaining party, they can only do that against the fiction.
Mm.
And the only way they can actually do an investigation legitimately against the sovereign man or woman is by another sovereign man or woman complaining to the government and initiating the investigation. Or that if there is a damage to government property, then in that case they can also start their own investigation to recover the damage against the sovereign man or woman. But the other thing is that it says right there in Title 18 that all crimes are civil or commercial. So what you have now is that whether it's a felony or it's a misdemeanor or it's just a certain amount of money due, it's all a commercial type crime and it's settled on a commercial type basis. And there's so much there, it's almost hard to cover it all, going on, all the stuff that's happening underneath. But
Jim, I'm going to see if I can take this call, because this call came in again. Caller, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Were you calling with a question?
Yes.
Okay. All right, fire away.
Okay, you may go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to know, and I'm really new to this topic, that I've heard a lot of different, I guess, stereotypes about it. But does being sovereign mean that you can't use, like, the post office or can't use a bank or you don't pay taxes? Or I know that a lot of people say that when you're sovereign, like, you don't pay taxes, you can't use public schools, you can't get health care, things like that.
Well, we're going to go into, I think, some of those questions for sure in a little bit, but I wanted to make sure that Jim kind of takes us on a little bit of tour and then lead up to that, just so there's, you know, more clarity. But absolutely, those questions need to be answered because there's a lot of confusion. So if you can hang on, then Jim can probably get to that question after you finish explaining this part of it.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. So where was I anyway?
Where are you anyway? What I'd like to have you go on to from where you were speaking of is also, because you were talking about the fact that you need, you know, the system needs a sovereign man or woman to actually make a complaint against another sovereign man or woman in order for, you know, the process to be initiated.
Right.
That's where you were.
Okay. So in order for government to move forward on anything against any one of the sovereign men or women of this country, they must have another sovereign man or woman complaining of some type of injury or a violation of a right, which is an injury, or the sovereign man or woman has to have damaged a property that belongs to the government, in which case the government would then have a legitimate claim to protect their property. But outside of that, they have no right to move against the sovereign man or woman. Also, there's another interesting little thing that most people aren't aware of. And, of course, they don't want you aware of this. But in any kind of crime, there is a thing called corpus delicti. And the corpus delicti just really means the elements of the crime, and there's two primary elements here. There has to be an injured party, has to be a real injury that can be enumerated, or threatened injury, like someone swung at you with a baseball bat and they just missed. So you weren't actually injured, but there was a real threat of injury. And there has to be some criminal act that tied what they did to what you're complaining about. So somebody swung a baseball bat and they missed you, and what they were doing was swinging at a ball, and you were just, you know, in the way and they didn't aware of it. There's no criminal act there. But if they looked at you and said, "I'm going to smash your head with this bat," and they swung at you and missed, well, there's a criminal act there. So there has to be a way for the person complaining to enumerate some kind of criminal act to an actual injury, property damage, or threatened injury or property damage that can be specifically enumerated. And if you think about things like traffic, where was the injury, who was injured, and how was that injury tied to what they say occurred? Well, in traffic, there's virtually never any corpus delicti, which is required. Nobody was injured. They just don't like you doing something, like going fast.
Right.
And if there's nobody was threatened with injury and there was no potential injury, and they just said, oh, you're just going too fast, you broke the law, well, that's fine, but there has to be somebody who had an injury. You had to be going too fast and you hit somebody's car, or you hit somebody, or you almost hit somebody by doing what you were doing. And that is the requirement. And you'll find that in virtually no traffic situation does that occur. But because of that, the government then creates this fiction, this uppercase entity that's their fiction, and it's assigned a Social Security number. And if you look at the federal rules, the Social Security number belongs to the government. It is theirs, always theirs, will never be yours, but they'll let you use it for a benefit. You receive benefits, you owe a duty. Well, the fiction does. The fiction receives a benefit, it owes a duty. And the duty is it must file a return for all the income it receives. And that is why people file returns, but they don't generally file them correctly because there's a lot. That there is a discussion for 2 days on fixing tax returns. But I've always told people that who don't want to file returns, that since it's not their return, it's the fiction's return, and since other people have reported that the fiction received money, you're better off to do that, file the return for this fiction, because it is a lot easier to fight over how much you owe than to fight whether you should go to jail or not. I think most people would agree with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes, and that definitely sort of could lead into another part of, you know, the question, because a lot of people are going to jail around a great many things because they misunderstood. But before talking about that, I still want to make sure we clarify this part, which is dealing with the United States, that it is a corporation. And if anybody is asking, where is there anywhere for us to ever verify this documentation that the United States, it's United States Inc., United States of America, well, the United States, I'm sorry, Incorporated versus the United States of America.
Well, if you look at the name, if they put an all uppercase, you know what they're talking about. It's a corporation-type entity. If it's upper lowercase, they're talking about the country. So, now all you have to do is look how they spell it.
Okay.
You have these... and all the states are incorporated. As a matter of fact, if you really want to find out, get on Dun and Bradstreet, look up whatever it is. For instance, you have a court local to you, look up that court name on Dun and Bradstreet. You'll find that it is a company, a corporation, on Dun and Bradstreet with some business purpose. For instance, I looked up the Justice Court in Orange County, and it came back that it was in the business of protecting police. So when you come to traffic court and you see that you virtually lose every time, that's because the court's job is to protect the police officer. They're not there to administer rights or anything like that. They are a corporation, private company, and their job is to protect the police officer from you. So if they need protection, which I don't think they do. But at the same time, officers don't know this. Most officers think they're doing the right thing, and they're trained to do what they do. So, you know, don't take it out on the officer. He's generally a good guy. But then again, he's
just uninformed. Uninformed.
That's right. And he meets a lot of angry people, so some of them get a little hard. But they're not bad people. They most, if not all, intend to do the right thing. So
now, Jim, can we lead right into this part of it? Because I know a lot of people are anxious for that. Now, in terms of this whole concept or process, then of filing or notifying the system of your sovereignty, then through documents, there's a lot of different ways that people have used and got in so much trouble. Maybe can you probably also shed some light on that and some of the ways that people have actually gotten in trouble?
Well,
or what not to do. What not to do.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. There's a lot of people selling a lot of packages for a lot of money. And they're selling the packages to make, quote unquote, make you sovereign. Well, first of all, you don't need to be made sovereign. You are sovereign. So you don't need anything that makes you sovereign. What you need, however, is because of all the things we've signed over our lifetime, is we need evidence of who we are. Because we signed all these other things saying we're not sovereign. And so you need to get evidence that indeed you are sovereign, you always have been, and all those other things that you've signed that said you weren't, was done through deception and misinformation, etc. So the way to properly notify the system, if you will, the governments, of who you are, is to go through a sovereign court. And there are certain papers that you file with the various governments, both federal and state. You give them an opportunity to tell you that, no, indeed, you're not sovereign. You are one of our subjects. Because, after all, that's part of due process. Due process is required under the Fifth Amendment. Well, we have to give them due process, too. So we have to give them the opportunity to say, no, you really are one of our subjects. You're not a sovereign man or a sovereign woman. So you send these documents out. You give them a chance to respond to it and say, yeah, well, you are sovereign, which I've never had them do. Or you're not sovereign, I'm sorry, which I've never had them do and come back and say, no, you're not sovereign. And then you put them in default. At that point, you can go to the sovereign court, because now you have the evidence that the government doesn't think you are anything but sovereign. You go to the court, the sovereign court, you go before the court, you present your case, if you will, you want to get the evidence of that you indeed are a sovereign man or woman. The court will then give you documents after hearing you. And asking you some questions. They'll give you documents. You then take those documents and you file that notice and get what's called an apostille put on it. Now, the apostille is merely a document that says that the notary who notarized the page that goes over these documents you got from the court is in good standing. But under the law of, basically it's a treaty with the UN and all these 172 other countries, they will accept the apostille as a legal document, the documents under it, as proper. Okay? So this allows you to take that document then into the court of the United States or the United States of America, all the state courts and governments, and give them notice. This is who I am. Now, just because you are that doesn't mean that they'll respect it, because they won't. But the record is made, and that is what you use to begin your contact with them, if you have to have contact with them. But it's like anything. I mean, you can be president of the United States and yet not act presidential. You can act like you're just a nobody who has no power to do anything. And if you do that, people will treat you that way. And the same thing with the government. If the government thinks you don't know who you are as a sovereign person, they will treat you as someone who doesn't know who they are and who's just one of their subjects, who's astray. And that's what they'll try to do. So being a sovereign man or woman requires you to educate yourself. Just like growing into adulthood requires that you go to school and you learn certain things to be able to function in society. The same thing is true if you're going to be and claim that you are a sovereign man or woman. You have to educate yourself. How do you interface with government? How do you deal with these things of tax returns and licensing and other things of that nature. And I would tell somebody that if you're going to pursue this, you don't take the whole thing on at one time. You don't get rid of driver's license, car registration, and all this other stuff. Don't stop and then stop filing taxes and all this stuff all at once because it's too much. There's number one, there's too many of them, and you can't handle all the stuff that'll come at you at one time. Therefore, you'd want to pick one area that you pursue, become educated in, and know what you need to do in that area. And then, once you feel comfortable with that, move on to another area that you act sovereign in. And that way you won't get overwhelmed. Because
that's absolutely great advice, Jim. That's great advice is what I was saying, Jim.
Oh, okay.
Because I think a lot of people get really confused and they don't really get the full scope of it and they just start doing, you know, all of these things and then they get into a lot of trouble behind it. Also, the caller earlier had mentioned, you know, can you do this, can you do that, and can you explain to people that, you know, there are a great many things, I mean, that you're still able to do. It is choice, and it is really, I guess, about you owning your straw man and as opposed to the system owning the straw man. So you're basically puppeting your own straw man. Is that correct?
Yes. For instance, she mentioned, I believe she mentioned Social Security. Social Security goes to the straw man. And you, as the one who is the agent for the straw man, decide what that money goes for, you know, how it's spent, etc. So the question is, if you're a sovereign, can you still get Social Security? Yes, because you never got it anyway. It all went to the straw man. And if you read the federal codes and regulations, you find out that it goes to this uppercase name and this number that's associated with that name. And that is, that's where it goes. It never went to you anyway. It's like, you know, my name, Jim, J-I-M. Well, Jim, J, capital J, small I, small M, that's me. However, capital J, small, capital I, capital M, what is that? That could be, it's like IBM stands for International Business Machine, so J-I-M, maybe that's Janitorial International Management. I have no idea. But I know it's not me. But since they threaten to put people in jail if they don't file these returns when they have evidence of income, other people reporting on you, or at least on your straw man, I suggest put the return in. But do it like you should do it and make sure it's done in the way the sovereign man would do or sovereign woman. And I wouldn't suggest that you just don't file at all, especially if you're getting 1099s, W-2s, K-1s, other types of reporting documents that are meant for the straw man, because that'll just create problems for you if it's not taken care of. Because the government's a big, huge accounting organization, and they see this stuff coming in, and they want to know where it went out, and if they have an entitlement to some portion of that. And to a certain extent they do, but it's a pretty small portion compared to what most people actually give through ignorance.
Yeah, so I think that's... go ahead, Jim.
I was just going to ask what other question you had there. I don't know if I answered your question.
No, you did answer because, well, that was the caller's question on benefits and going to school and all these things. But I think we also have to understand that... benefits, you know, there's a lot of the benefits that have been presented to us, and they seem to be more of a bait. Some things are more of a bait, and I think people really get lost in that whole idea of wanting to get a lot of benefits. Yes, there are things that you do want to get, but yes, they belong to the straw man as well, and I think that, you know, the confusion ends up lying in that aspect.
Yeah, well, if you think of the straw man situation as the same thing as a contract. If you contract someone to, say, paint your house, and you agree to pay them, you know, $2,000 to paint your house, if you have agreed to do that and you have given the money, don't they owe you a duty now to paint your house? Sure. And the same thing happens with the straw man. You've contracted, or the straw man really has contracted with the government to get benefits, Social Security and all this other stuff. Well, it owes a duty in order to receive that stuff. And that duty is it has to file these returns. So if you want to receive a benefit, then understand that there's a duty always attached to it. And if you don't want to receive the benefit, then there's no duty. That's what all the licensing and everything else is all about. It's to create a duty for you to get a benefit. Now, the thing is, they've taken things that are rights, like your right to travel, and they have made it into a privilege. And by doing that, and by you agreeing to it, then they have the right to regulate you. But again, traffic is a whole topic in and of itself. But if you look at the Constitution, you have under the Fourth Amendment and under the California, under the Article 1 of California, you have the right of liberty. Now, liberty is defined as locomotion. You can go anywhere you want. You can do anything you want as long as you do not harm another person. And if you're allowed to do anything you want, there's no restriction in liberty when it comes to how you get from one place to another, as long as you don't harm another person. So if you get in your car and you go from one place to another, can the government restrict that? No, they can't. But they try to get you to take on a license, which is a privilege, and with that license, they regulate the activity that license permits. Now, what happens here, if you look at the definition of license is permission to do that which otherwise is illegal, trespass, or a tort, or otherwise not allowed. And it's permission by competent authority to give you permission to do those things. A trespass, a property right violation, a tort, a personal injury, otherwise not allowed, or illegal means it's against some law. Now the question is, what are you doing that you need this for? What kind of crime are you committing that otherwise would be a crime if it wasn't, that you're getting this license for? For instance, people get marriage licenses, do they not? Is marriage a tort, a property rights violation, a personal injury? Have you injured them? Well, people who've been married for a while might think it is, but it's not, really. And it's also not against the law to be married. So there's no reason to get a marriage license, because a marriage license introduces the state into your marriage. Thus, they can tell you what to do in your marriage, what you can't do in your marriage, what you can do with your kids, what you can't do with your kids. And it's all by the marriage license. A marriage is a contract. Just make out a contract like they used to do and be married that way. Now you have a legitimate marriage and under God, and the state's not involved in it. That is the sovereign, and that's the way all the sovereign people of this country used to do it, until the government started offering this other stuff and people started buying the line that you had to have a license to be married, permission from competent authority, because it's a crime to be married without their license. Well, no, it isn't. Okay, and I'm not going to get into all of that, because everything we're getting into could take forever.
No, that's a lot. Well, I'm going to jump to this next question, because let's see. All right, so saying what you said in terms of the marriage license and the impact that they have in your lives in terms of your children, which obviously they do. That's why you get in trouble if your child doesn't go to school. Is it at all possible in today's world to not create a bill of lading for your child, which of course you know, the birth certificate. How difficult would it be to function? Would there be a way to operate around it? You know, I think maybe more significantly it might, you know, impact, you know, travel, because you need a passport. I mean, there's a lot of things then that it impacts if your child in today's world doesn't have the documents.
Right. And that's one of the choices you have to make. Now, the fact is, if you have anybody born in a hospital, it's going to be a birth certificate. The only way you cannot get a birth certificate is by having the birth at home, but with midwives.
Right.
That's about the only way you can get around the birth certificate. But outside of that, it's going to, you know, your child's going to have one. Now, just mm-hmm. because your child has a birth certificate doesn't mean your child is necessarily stuck into the system. It just, they just have a document that your child had nothing to do with that was created at birth. And obviously, the child can't be held accountable for things that happen before the child has the ability to make those kind of decisions, which in our society occurs at 18. At 18, their child is considered competent to make its own contracts, et cetera, et cetera. So, I personally don't have anything against the birth certificate myself, because you can use it in many ways to use the straw man to your benefit.
Right.
Which is a good thing, because we operate in a commercial society. Everything's commerce, and the government's got their fingers everywhere.
Right.
So, because of that, I don't see any problem with the birth certificate. Plus, it was done when the child was not of the age of majority and therefore could not protest anyway. It was all done by the parent.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that. That's a good thing right there. Well, Jim, because we could talk forever on all of this, I have a question, and this is a good question. Do you need an attorney to declare sovereignty? Because people don't understand this, what an attorney really is.
Okay, well, first of all, let's find out what an attorney is. Okay, an attorney, I mean, I've had somebody break up the word attorney, and the whole idea behind attorney is to turn you from the right way to the wrong way. So, and there are good attorneys out there, although that's few. But, nevertheless, first of all, is an officer of the court. And as an officer of the court, and if you can read this on a Corpus Juris Secundum, Attorney-Client Relationship, Section 4. And it tells you that an attorney has two duties. He has a duty to you, and he has a duty to the court. And if there's a conflict between those two duties, his first duty is to the court, not to you. So if the court has an interest in your case and how it comes out, his first duty is he has to do what the court wants, not what you want or is even in your best interest. So just understand that when you hire an attorney. Secondly, when you hire an attorney or a lawyer and you go into court, you are a ward of the court. And if you look up ward of the court in the Black's Law Dictionary, a ward of the court is a person who is either a child or a person of unsound mind, which means if you hire an attorney, you're either a child who can't think or you're crazy. So take your pick. I don't find either one of those to be a good choice. But, and that's why, by the way, when you see these cases where the judge tells the attorney to tell his client to be quiet, get control of his client, et cetera, because the judge knows that that person is either a child in his mind or he's crazy. So he doesn't want some crazy person or a child messing up the decorum of his court. So that's why they tell him, keep that guy quiet. And they just want the attorney to speak for you because that's why you hired him and that's what you become.
Okay. So basically the answer is no. You wouldn't want to use an attorney.
Not need an attorney. And number one, you don't need it. And number two, you can't use one to declare sovereignty because he's a ward of the court. The court's a corporation. He's therefore an officer. Actually, according to Corpus Juris Secundum, he's an officer of the court, and you can't have a fiction declaring that you're a sovereign. It doesn't
Makes sense.
Work that way.
Makes
okay.
sense. Now, Jim, I always have to cut you off because I gotta have another question, which is a good question as well. Jim, does what you are espousing hold up in the Superior Court of California? And if so, do you have any court orders to prove your claims? This is DR from Glendale, California.
Okay. Well, in answer to that, the answer is, why would I go there as a sovereign, and why does he believe that the court would allow stand in the record something that would be so detrimental to their ability to rule over you? The court, all the time seals records. I know a number of records where people won and the court sealed it. Now nobody can see it because it was so detrimental to what they were doing. Secondly, if you look at the Seventh Amendment to the Constitution for the United States of America, you find out that there is a court called the Common Law Court, which is, by the way, the court you go to get the evidence of your sovereignty. The Common Law Court there tells you that its decisions are unreviewable by any court in the land. That means the Supreme Court of California, the Supreme Court of the United States, or any lower court has no authority or ability to review, change, modify any decision that comes out of a common law court. Now, you can look at the Supreme Court for the United States and a few for California that they will tell you they lack. They will tell you they lack to review, change, modify.
One second. Hold one second for me, Jim.
All right.
Is there a caller there? Is there a caller?
Hello.
Caller, are you there?
So.
You know what? We are having a hard time hearing you. We're having a hard time hearing you. You may have to call back.
Yes, I'm sorry. I have to call back because my mic is stuck now.
Yeah, okay. Sorry about that. You can email your questions as well. All right, because we only have like 2 minutes, and I hated to have to interrupt you. We've got like 2 minutes left.
Okay, so the answer is the Constitution tells you that all those courts are inferior to a common law court, and there are court decisions that tell you that they will not review a common law court's decision. They lack jurisdiction to do so, which is correct. The Constitution says that. So the problem is you have so few common law courts that the most people don't even know where to go to get one. But there's one in Nevada at sovereignpeoplescourt.com. sovereignpeoplescourt.com. And they have a number of links on that to various other places which are beneficial and can be very educational. But that's where one of the sovereign courts are.
Jim, can you give us some contact information? Because I also want to ask you, will you be able to come back and do a part two? We can schedule a part two before you get really busy. You're always busy, though, but I know tax time comes about and I can't even reach you. So,
they can reach me at my business line, which is 310-530-6306. It does tend to get filled. So if you call and it says you can't leave a message, that means that I've gotten over 30 calls that day and I haven't been able to get them off yet because I'm usually working with somebody. So, but I usually don't start taking calls until 9 o'clock in the morning. So don't call before 9 because it won't get answered.
All right, sounds good. Let's see. Is there a call? Oh, there's a comment here from the same person in Glendale, but they have to give the litigant a copy of the order judgment. Though you are correct in the court's sealing information from the public, but it can't be sealed from the litigants.
That's correct. The litigant does get it, but the litigant doesn't go out and advertise either, most of the time. There are some, though you can get on, like I say, these various sites that deal with sovereignty, and you will see some of the orders and the wins they have. For instance, let's see, citizens. Let's see, what is that one? Let's see if I have the thing here. I think it's Jack and Margie Flynn. On their website, they've won over 300 court cases dealing with the Constitution and the oath of office and these government agencies. So if you want to look at their information, which is good information, for Jack and Margie Flynn, I think it's Citizens of a, has to deal with the Constitution, so it's Citizens for the Constitution or something like that.
But they can always put it in the search and it'll come up anyway, because, I mean, they're pretty well known.
Yeah, if you do, type in Jack and Margie Flynn, they will find, the proper name of that website and how to get there. And I have it here, but I don't know where I have it.
All right. Well, Jim, we're down to the wire now. Jim, I'm going to call you after, and I think we're going to need to do a part two, because I know people are going to be emailing me about this. But anyway, I want to thank you, Jim Mazatol, for being on the show this morning, and I'm looking forward to having you back. And also, to the listening audience, you may contact me at Sonia, S-O-N-I-A-B-A-R-R, at yahoo.com. And you may visit my website to listen to this interview again, www.sovereignmindradio.com. Join me next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific time. And remember that the power to be a sovereign mind, a free mind, lies within you. Join me. Oh,